We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. Half the size of California, Papua New Guinea is home to more than 6.5 million people. Wikipedia says it's estimated that more than 1,000 different cultural groups exist there. LonelyPlanet.com, the travel folks, they say 820 languages are spoken and there are more than 50 indigenous counting systems. It also says, quote, the striking natural beauty and myriad complex cultures offer riveting and truly life-affirming experiences. My guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine is from Papua New Guinea. His name is Michael Mell. He is the senior lecturer and head of expressive arts and religious education at the university, and you'll have to help me out with the name.
Goroka,
thank you. And he is also a playwright. He's a leading spokesperson for the arts of Papua New Guinea. He is the recipient of the prestigious International Prince Claus Award. This is a prize awarded for achievement that brings together culture and development. Dr. Mell is visiting the University of Illinois, and this evening at 7 o'clock, he'll talk about contemporary arts in Papua New Guinea and present a performance piece in the Knight Auditorium at the Spurlock Museum. Tonight's program is in association with the exhibit, The Transforming Arts of Papua New Guinea, in the museum's Campbell Gallery. The Spurlock Museum is located at 600 South Gregory Street in Urbana. This evening's event is free and open to the public. Dr. Mell, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you. Very, very pleased to be here today. Yeah.
Now, in a country so diverse and that has only had its independence from Australia for about a generation, what role do the arts play in bringing a country together, such a young country?
Correct. The arts are a very significant pathway, very significant ways in which a country of such magnitude in terms of culture can be used to bring people together. The process and ways that can happen is to be able to acknowledge each one of those cultures, if you like, and recognize that they're all different. And one of the ways in which the exhibition in the Spurlock Museum provides for is the way in which a good number of our cultures from Papua New Guinea are showcased in not only the traditional objects, but some of the more contemporary artwork that have been chosen and are now quite wonderfully displayed in the exhibit. And the way to bring about a nation of such complexity is to give recognition to diversity. I think that America in many ways can at least be recognized in it being a great democracy where difference is tolerated, where people from many cultures are given space and time to be able to say and to be able to contribute. So in some ways, I think it's very much like what we'd like to think in Papua New Guinea, where we recognize the different cultures. And certainly the presentation at the Spurlock Museum is a small example of those kinds of celebration or celebrating and acknowledging different cultures in a nation state.
Yeah. Could you give us a description of an object in the exhibit that is old and one that is contemporary?
Well, we'll start with the latter. A contemporary piece that exemplifies that kind of a kind of pan-Papua New Guinean sort of view of the world is a painting by John Siune. John Sione is an artist, is what we might call a street painter. By that kind of demeaning connotation, it's no way to call an artist, but in the way that he's been able to observe things, and in the way that he's not a formally trained artist, but his observational skills, his knowledge of what's happening around him and the nation at large have been very, very good, well displayed in the particular piece that he's had the opportunity to display here. He's got a wonderful aeroplane, and inside the aeroplane that he's been able to put together, there are lots of images of these passengers. The passengers are all painted faces, and the faces, and John happens to be from the highlands of Papua New Guinea, but the faces are a range of faces from across Papua New Guinea. They're all, of course, passengers traveling across the world, traveling over Papua New Guinea. Beneath the aircraft is a family out at sea fishing, and they're basically, obviously, going out gathering food. But the point is, John's from the highlands, and once again, he's been able to depict this community, this family from the coast. To be able to draw from such a rich diversity is a wonderful example of an artist being able to bring people together and to be able to share the history of others on one painting. There's another image, and a very popular one, that a particular chair that is very, very prominent in the exhibition. And this is the orator's stool. It was a very prominent furniture, if you like, from the inner area of the Sepik region. Very well known, particularly to collectors, art collectors, as well as historians, anthropologists, and so forth. And this chair is really a significant chair because it brings communities together. So when there are issues to be discussed, problems to be resolved, the orator's chair is in the middle, and the clan or community leader goes and sits in and around the orator's chair. Now, how Janet Keller has been able to put the show together has been that she has all these images from the highlands, from the coast, from inland, from the smaller islands, and all of that, and all tied together to this orator's chair in the middle. Now that in itself is, I think, a great sign of the way in which the exhibition has been allowed to tell a story, tell many stories. And this particular chair serves the same role that it served in a small community in the Sepik area. But now, here in the Spurlock Museum at the University of Illinois, is certainly a wonderful way to tell a Papua New Guinean story.
Yeah, and I like the two examples that you selected, because we have an old artifact, this chair, that would have been around long before perhaps the airplane, right?
Correct.
And now the airplane is so, today in contemporary Papua New Guinea, is correct, so important because it brings people together.
Very much so.
Because of the terrain.
Correct, correct. And the airplane's a significant aspect. I mean, just on a personal note, my own coming year has been a wonderful experience. I am first generation in my community to go to school, to get an education, and even to come to America, for that matter, and to visit the U.S., to come even to the Midwest. And so it's for the first time that I, from Papua New Guinea, but particularly from my own community. So that says a lot about, say, some 50, 60, 70 years ago, where, as you said, a generation ago, we were living in our small, isolated communities with our own languages, with our own ways of doing things. Today, our son of theirs has now traveled the world. So it's been a major change for many of us. And things like the aeroplanes have been a way to really enrich our cultures and also open to all the possibilities that there are.
Yeah. In my introduction, I mentioned some 820 languages are spoken.
Yes.
Where you come from. Is there an effort to preserve this wealth of languages, given all the mixing that's going on now with airplanes and with the global economy?
Yes.
What is going on in terms of language preservation? Is it a priority?
It's a complex issue, language. Of course, language represents a culture very strongly because it's knowledge, it's history, its sense of identity, if you like, is contained in language. So those 800 or so different cultures feel very, very strongly about their language. Our history, unfortunately, has been very tough and very difficult, where many of those languages were initially, during early contact, were either denied or banished or not recognized. But over time, fortunately, there's a greater recognition of the wealth that's in there. Today, Papua New Guineans feel very significant that those languages should be retained. We today, I think, stand in a very difficult time where there are many different languages. By that I mean spoken languages, media and technology. Many of those are different forms of communication that have inundated our people. So competing with all those different forms of language, and English included, mind you, it's a very tough ask to communicate, use English with many others and within ourselves as well, but at the same time find recognition for all of our languages in our country. But there is now a greater effort to recognize our languages, and one of the major shifts in our country has been to saying all of our primary school children, early childhood, kindergarten, should begin in elementary in their own vernacular, and then they'll move on to English. It's not that easy because many of the parents argue that our children should be educated in English because English is the medium for business, for education, for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we go back to our indigenous knowledge, our traditional knowledge? It seems a step backward and not forward. These are very complex issues, but certainly worth discussing in our own country, and I'm glad that you asked.
Okay. There we have to leave it. I wish we had more time, Dr. Mel. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. This evening, you'll be at the Spurlock Museum to give a talk about contemporary arts in Papua New Guinea and present a performance piece. This will be in the Knight Auditorium at the Spurlock Museum. Tonight's program is in association with the exhibit, The Transforming Arts of Papua New Guinea, in the museum's Campbell Gallery. The Spurlock Museum is located at 600 South Gregory Street in Urbana, and this evening's event is free and open to the public. Dr. Mel, thank you.
Thank you very much.